From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour has been made over the past 9 months. Somewhere in Rochester, a young student, 13 years old, is finishing the school year. This 13-year-old boy has had a relatively strong academic year, and it starts with just showing up. We know that barely 2 in 5 Rochester students graduate high school in 4 years. We know there are hundreds who don't show up for class every day. This 13-year-old was one of them. He skipped a lot of school in his earlier years, barely passed, but something clicked this year. The student committed to showing up. Even though some of his friends were often truant or were failing, this student was raising his grades. And so what happens now? Summer is coming. It certainly sounds appealing to students. Remember the excitement of summer when you were that age? But for students like this boy, summer can be fraught with risk. Rochester City School leaders are concerned about what they call summer learning loss. Students don't read for 3 months. They don't study. They don't learn. They break the good habits that have been building up, and they return to a less structured routine. And it's easy to wonder, is summer going to undo the progress made by students like this 13-year-old we've been talking about? Does he know that taking a step back could imperil his future? This hour, we're looking at the efforts being made to prevent the summer learning loss, from the state level to the city to the Rochester City School District, the collaborations, WXXI is even involved. We're going to be talking about reading, what's going on in the rec centers, the various programs, the libraries. My guests for the hour include Bolhan Vargas, Rochester City School District Superintendent. Dr. Vargas, always nice to have you. Thank you for being here.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Also here is Marisol Ramos Lopez, who is the City of Rochester Commissioner of Recreation and Youth Services. Marisol, nice to see you.
Nice to be here.
And Tanya Burton, a Children's Services Consultant with the Rochester Public Library. Tanya, nice to have you as well.
Thanks. Good. Glad to be here.
Mr. Vargas, let's start here. I've seen many photographs of you going door to door. You have been very public about truancy, about knocking on doors, asking young students, why aren't you in school today? Bringing them there yourselves. And for the students who are showing up more often, what concerns you most about the summer?
Well, the lack that they will continue learning. And we are trying to work very hard with our families. We are the city, the public library system, which, by the way, we are very fortunate here. This is an issue that we all could address, addressing the summer learning loss, which means that we have significant number of students that spend the summer we are being engaged in learning. They don't engage in structured learning activity. They might be learning, but they might be learning things that we might not be so pleased. So I just want to be clear. So we want to encourage every child and every family to read during the summer. And we have been doing this for 4 years. We are actually getting national recognition for our work here because we believe that it's positive. It is possible for every child to learn how to read. And one of our goals is to make sure that every one of our students is reading on grade level by 3rd grade. And we cannot achieve that goal if our students stop reading during the summer.
Okay. And 4 years in now, well, first of all, let me start with some of the broader numbers, because we talked about just the value of showing up, of being there. And I remember last September when school was starting back up, the goal was to get, you know, a high number of students there, 95% first day. Have you seen any improvement, for example, with basic truancy and attendance on a day-to-day basis in the district?
Yeah, we've seen some significant improvement, particularly in making sure that data is clear. One of the reasons we started this aggressive campaign to get our students every day in school, number one, because it's common sense. If you are going to help our children to be successful in school, they have to be in the classroom. But we learned from prior situation when there was a case in here you might have covered with Taiwan Rivera, in which that child, shoot a police officer at 10 o'clock. He was 14 at the time. He had been missing from the school for 2 years. He was in our book, but no one was looking for him. So I decided to, basically on the data, to take a look at what was going on with our students. And we came to the conclusion that we needed to engage the entire community. And again, the United Way, the County of Monroe, actually the County of Monroe is our best partner when it comes to truancy. The Department of Social Services have been engaged, the City of Rochester, Social Services Organization, the Public Library. At the end of the day, we have been talking for a very long time about solving the issue of poverty. We cannot solve poverty in this community until we are successful in getting our children to succeed in school. We know the relationship between education and poverty. And this is something that everyone in this community can play a part. We're asking everyone here in this community, every adult, every leader, every church, every temple, to make sure that our children are reading. Every child could have a library card and take advantage of our great partner, the public library system. Every child could, for example, read and participate in reading activity every day. And if you are an adult or a leader, or you are contributing to the success of that child, if you make sure that he or she is reading today and every day.
You might have heard the excellent reporting by my colleague Brad Smith earlier this week, last night, reporting, talking to various people about these summer reading programs and reporting on the fact that if a child does not have a vocabulary of 4,000 words by the time they are in third or fourth grade, they are in trouble. They are in real trouble. And Tanya Burton, I know the Rochester Public Library is concerned about that. So let's talk about, let's get a look at the broad lens of what is available now, these partnerships, what parents can do, what should be happening this summer. How concerned are you about the students who get to that third and fourth grade level? They can't read, and all of a sudden that feels like that's a mountain that you can't climb.
Well, extremely concerned. And like Dr. Vargas pointed out, we all play a part in it and we can all do something to help families out. So in the public library, we've been looking at, all right, what is our role? What do we have the resources and expertise to do? So we've started a program called Raising a Reader, where we're starting with parents with newborns up through 5 years old. And we're working with parents in their home, in the libraries, in their daycares, and helping the parents with reading strategies and how to share books with kids. You know, many families don't have any books in their home. So we're doing everything we can to try and get them books in their home through our Raising a Reader program. Our literacy coordinator, Shelley Matthews, has bookshelves all over the city with free books that people can just come and take. They're in our rec centers, they're in our schools, they're in beauty salons all over the place. And then, of course, the public library. We now have library cards for preschoolers, which we didn't have before. So now preschoolers can come in and check out books with their parents. And then we have, you know, lots of great activities for parents to come in and learn with their children.
WXXI is partnering with the Central Library and sponsoring Exploration Station events as part of their summer learning events. And we certainly invite you to check it out. We've got information online, wxxi.org/grad. wxxi.org/grad. And we're proud to make that partnership. But Tanya, you're talking about, number one, first and foremost, more books in households, more books everywhere you go. Students have to be able to read, first of all. And so often, you know, when I became a parent, I was told, do you want your son to read? Don't just read to him or try to teach him to read. Model it. Make sure he sees you reading. Mm-hmm. And if kids are not seeing reading modeling, you know, are you going to have books sitting in households unread? What do you do about that?
Well, what the library is doing is Raising a Reader. That's what we're doing with parents. You know, it's, you know, like if you gave me a drill, I wouldn't have any idea how to use that tool.
Right.
And a book is the same thing. If a parent doesn't know how to read themselves, what do you do from that point? So we're trying to help parents and encouraging parents. Another thing that we do in collaboration with the city school district now, for the second year, we have our learning labs in area branches. We have six branches that 4 days a week students can come and have 2 hours of reading time. And so we have teachers coming in who will work with the students through the summer so they don't experience that summer learning loss.
I would just say, you know, as a parent myself, it's amazing how much I find out when I just call the library, just go there. You know, and so that's a great place to start. If you know a young reader or a reader to be, right. I would just start by, you know, calling the Tanya Burtons of the world and calling the library, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Just start
or
there.
Yeah, you could go with, you know, go to our website, libraryweb.org, and we have all of our summer reading programs on there. You just go on the kids link and then summer, and you'll find out about our exploration stations and all the great summer learning activities that we have going on at the library.
Sure. All right, before I kick it over to Marisol Ramos Lopez, Superintendent Vargas, if they're not reading at a essentially up to speed level by third and fourth grade, the research I've seen indicates that that's the grade level that we should be very concerned with. What have you seen?
We've seen the same thing. Actually, in Rochester, I could tell you that if we get our children to read in grade level by third grade, the likelihood that they would graduate is around 95%.
95%.
Versus the 50% graduation rate approximately that we have today. Not only that, they have better skills to be successful in life. Reading is a gateway to success because you when you know how to read, you can acquire all the knowledge. And also, it really is a protective factor. In my own researching here in Rochester, I studied the class of 2009. The graduating class, and one of the things that I found is that while there's tremendous poverty here, and poverty is a factor, and it's a serious problem, but it could be mitigated. For example, how do you mitigate poverty? If you want to stop the next generation of poverty or people living in poverty, you have to start with literacy. There's also a strong association, your ability to read, and your literacy level, and your success in life, not just to have a job. And that's why it's so important for us to be working with the city, the public library, the county, and most important, the families. And by the way, every family wanted their children to succeed. But what happened if you come from a generation of families that never read? What is the role of the Rochester City School District, the public library, the city of Rochester? Our mayor, Lovely Warren, for example, one of the things that I appreciate about her effort, that education is part of her strategy to lift the city to a better place. None of us are happy with our situation in Rochester. And I believe that we could change it, but it is not possible in the long run unless we change the literacy rate. We will know when we are making progress about changing the trajectory of the city of Rochester by the literacy rate. Our citizens are more likely to vote, are more likely to be successful, to have a job when they have high skills and they have an education. We do know. I'm from a third world country. One of the things that place you in that category is the level of education of society. And the same thing here. In the city of Rochester, you could tell by census tract which area is most successful. And all you had to do is look at one indicator per census tract, and that is the literacy rate. And where it's low, you have a lot of stress, a lot of challenge, and where it's high, you see, you know, the neighborhood to be more stable, more successful, and so on and so forth. And by the way, you could map the entire United States and talk about the success of citizens and community just by the literacy rate.
I'm trying to do a little math in my head here because you said for students in Rochester who can read at grade level in third and fourth grade, their graduation rate is 95%?
The children that are able to read, not that they're able, that are succeeding, or children that are able, I mean, some have challenges like dyslexia and all the challenging, and those could be mitigated by accommodating their learning. Like, for example, a kid who might not be able to read a text, you could find book on tape and so on and so forth. 95% of the children that are reading on grade level by third grade are succeeding in the Rochester City School District. Their likelihood to graduate is about 95%. And we also know through all the studies that when children fail to read on grade level by third grade, that they are less likely to graduate, less likely and most likely to end up, for example, in challenging situation like in contact with the criminal justice system.
But I have to, let me just follow up here, because The graduation rate for the city right now stands, you said around 50%. Do we know what the number is? So it's around 50%. Not nearly as high
as... It's 51% to be precise when you include August, which is the on-time graduation.
Okay. That, to me, indicates that there is a dangerously high number of students in the district who, in third grade, are not reading up to grade level. What is the number of students that we can guesstimate that are actually not reading at the third grade level who are in third grade?
That is a very important question.
Sounds like it's about half or 40%.
Right now, depending what metric you use, as you know, part of the challenge in New York State that we are changing the metric constantly for the past 7-8 years. But right now, our students that are at level one, that is significant. We have about 70% of our students are functioning at level one, which is basically below basic proficient. Then you have about 30% of our students, by all account, they either have basic proficient in reading or they are reading on grade level, because those are the students that are level three or level four. Any student that is on level one, in some study that we had done, they have around 13% the likelihood. Once you go into level two, or that reading metric, it puts you at around 37%.
To graduate?
To graduate. However, let me just say that it's a predictor. It doesn't mean that they determine. On our high school, what's happening in Rochester, that we have so many students that are entering to ninth grade. We are the skill set to be successful. I have been telling our school community that the dropout rate in Rochester doesn't occur in high school. It does occur in elementary. And that's why we're putting our emphasis on early literacy. And the study confirmed this. East High School, for example, which I so appreciate the partnership with the U of R, the number one challenge of that school and many other in Rochester have been that so many of our students are reading below grade level when they enter ninth grade. And the challenge for us that it have been significant below grade level, and the summer learning loss is a contributing factor to that. Because even we have one of the best programs with pre-K, thanks to the Community Foundation and our partnering, place like the our community-based organization in partnership with the school district, are doing a great job. And right now, the city of Rochester, we started this last year, and we are the only district in Monroe County that will guarantee a seat for every child that wants one in pre-K and for kindergarten, and to address the summer learning loss. This year alone, we are going to invest $12.5 million to address the summer learning loss and learning opportunity. And for example, we are collaborating with the city, with the recreation center, and we love that they are rebranding the recreation center so that we are placing reading teachers. When I came to the district 4 years ago, I was shocked. Zero reading teacher in an urban district who desperately need to raise the literacy rate. And that's why, even though we had some financial challenge, I began to address the finance of the district to make sure that the dollars that we have are going into the classroom, particularly for our reading effort. Because once again, I could tell you what's going to happen to the next generation of citizens in this community by looking at the reading level. And by the way, I shouldn't say I. We could tell that. Expert, common sense, tell us that reading is an essential skill, and one in which is the responsibility of the district, the family, and the community to make sure that we have our children reading on grade level by third grade, and we need everyone to help. So thank you to WXXI. Thank you to the Rochester Public Library. By the way, the first year, the public library, they participate in a forgiveness program, and they about $300,000 or more just the first time. And they have been incredible in partnering with us. We were able, 3 years ago, we began to see how many of our families are checking books at the local library. And we are able to tell which library had the most participation. Our challenge to every citizen in this community is to make sure that a public library, a recreation center, I pack and our children are reading every day. It's something that everyone can do to make sure that children are reading today and each and every day. And we will succeed, by the way. Poverty is a fact, but should not be an excuse. And by the way, reading should not be in the shoulders of teachers alone. We need to help our teachers. Many of them are doing incredible work. Our principal are working hard. But at the end of the day, raising the next generation of citizens is the responsibility of all of us. And that begins with helping our children to read.
Tanya, you wanted to jump in here?
I did. So third grade reading level, one of the things, you know, that I want to make sure that everybody understands, why is that so important? And that's the point when, if kids are on level, that's when hopefully they're start. Before that, they're learning to read. At third grade level, that's when they're supposed to start reading to learn. So if by third grade they can't read, then that's what's hurting their learning from that point out. So that's why these partnerships with the rec center and the school district and the learning labs that we have at both rec centers and the libraries and the literacy aids that both the rec and the libraries have because of the school district partnership are so important, because we're helping those kids learn to read so they can be ready to read to learn from third grade on.
And you hear rec centers, Marisol Ramos Lopez from the city of Rochester. Rec centers, when I was growing up, I thought of rec centers as places to play basketball. And I know that's part of the mission of the city, is to say there's so much more to it.
There absolutely is so much more. We've gone through rebranding and we've come up with some value statements for the city, our centers. So we're calling them our centers because obviously it's recreation, but it's also relationships, responsibility, and a rapport that is developed between the kids that come in, their parents, and our team. And I'll tell you that we're looking at education as one of our primary values, environmental education, STEM, and we are also looking at arts and culture as part of it. So athletics, whether it be open play and organized sports, is still a huge part of what we do. But we have broadened our spectrum when it comes to the role that we play in the community and the importance of education and keeping our kids involved and having them learn.
Hey, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, I've got something on my desk here that says the 2015 Summer Guide, Rochester Recreation. Where can people get this and where can people see this?
So these are, all of the city schools have received them. So children should be bringing those home. We have them at the libraries. We have them at the public market. We have them in other different public buildings, but we also have it online. It's www.cityofrochester.gov, and they can click on the Recreation Magazine and find all of the information for all of the programming that we're having this summer.
If you want to call the program and join the conversation, you can do that. It's toll-free, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. We're talking about the partnership going on in this community to try to stop what they call the summer learning loss, particularly trying to help at-risk students who are going to go out, be done with school at the end of this month, enjoy summer, I'm sure. But the question is that lack of structure, is that lack of reading, that lack of learning going to cause their educational development to hit a wall? And that is the concern. You've heard the superintendent, Bolhan Vargas, talking about that. He's in studio with us. Marisol Ramos Lopez from the city of Rochester is with us. Tanya Burton, a children's services consultant with the Rochester Public Library, is with us. We're going to get your phone calls just after this break, and we're going to get some online questions as well. At Evan Dawson on Twitter, Caleb is asking about whether we just simply need year-round school in some cases, and I know that's not the first time someone suggested that. We'll see what the superintendent have to say about that as well. So call the program if you'd like, 844 295-TALK, 844-295-8255. And let's take this short break and come right back here on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, if you are a meat eater, let me ask you this. Do you eat tongue? Do you eat head cheese? And if no, why not? We're going to talk to a group of chefs and the folks from Headwater Foods, folks from local farms, who are working to get more of us to eat nose to tail, not wasting food, eating the entire animal. That conversation next hour on Connections.
Support for your public radio station comes from our members and from the Wealth Strategies Group at Canandaigua National Bank and Trust, offering financial planning strategies that are tailored to clients' needs. Canandaigua National Bank and Trust, investing in you.
Welcome back to Connections. Before we start with your phone calls, as we talk about the summer learning loss and these efforts to prevent it, I want to ask the Rochester Superintendent Bulhan Vargas a question that I think I don't want to risk sort of oversimplifying what is a complex problem. A lack of ability to read at grade level by third grade is complex. First of all, the superintendent points out every year the metrics change. We know that that's true. Second of all, for students who do not show up in school, either every single day and they've dropped out or routinely, it is a tall challenge for them to learn, for teachers to teach them, and we know that to be the case. And they need that support at home. They need their parents or grandparents, kinship caregivers or wherever their background is to help them and to model good behavior, to model reading, to model good nutrition. So we know all of that is in play. But let me ask the superintendent, if you have a large number of students who are in third grade but cannot read at third grade level when they desperately need to, is part of the problem the way the district is teaching? Is part of it in the classroom? How do you view that, part of a complex equation?
It's a complex problem, but let me just say that 2 years ago, one of the observations that I made was that our student was receiving the least amount of instructional time. So ask yourself the question, our children arguably need the most instruction than any group of kids in Monroe County, but yet we had a school system that was providing them the least. So we have addressed that. Rochester, right now, in many of our schools, offer even more instruction. And yes, we had to work on the quality of the instruction. There's no question about that. But you also had to begin with both quantity and quality, particularly when you deal with children that are living in poverty. We also began to expand the school day to address the social-emotional needs of children and also to give our students more sport, more music, more arts, more extracurricular activity. To get a student engaged in reading, you also have to meet the holistic need of the child. Children that come from poverty, from any time, they might have incredible talent. They might be they like to play a musical instrument. The only place for the most part that they could get that is in school. So, and we do know, for example, that there's an association when the child is happy, play musical instrument, is participating in art, that they also more likely to engage in reading. So we also began to look at this whole notion of early literacy. So how do you help a child who enters school in kindergarten significantly behind? When you come from poverty, you have about 32 million words that the middle-class child has heard by the time they enter kindergarten. So there's a tremendous gap when our children begin. So how do you want to close that gap to get them to read on grade level? In Rochester, we have 5 strategies that is very complicated, and in each one of them we have partnership, like the City of Rochester, the County of Monroe, or the Social Services, the Public Library. And here's what our 5 strategy: full day pre-K for every child, and full day kindergarten for every child. That's number two. Number three, we are expanding the school day to do more for our children because they need more. Number four, we are working in the quality instruction and exciting. We want the school to be more exciting than the street. But in order to do that, it has to, that's why we have invested in music, in art, in sport, extracurricular activities, social worker, and yet we need to invest more in that. Last but not least, the Rochester City School District cannot do it alone. And this is where we desperately need the families and our partner, the City of Rochester, the County of Monroe, the public library, the religious community, the civic community, need to continue to help our families in order for them to play a greater role in the education of their children. Because at the end of the day, family matter. There's no question in my mind. And we need to be supportive of families for them to help their children. So there's no silver bullet. However, we do know that if we address effectively the summer learning loss, we are likely to succeed. That's part of our strategy, that learning is 365 days a year. Almost every 4 weeks, I ask family to read to their children 30 minutes per day. Yeah. And one of the things, when I go around through our school and our community, the families are responding. But it can't be the superintendent saying, read to your child. It has to be everyone in this community.
365 days. Caleb on Twitter wants to know, should we go to year-round school then?
For some children, there's a possibility that they need that. And in Rochester, we are aiming and addressing the summer learning loss in order to get to the whole year-round learning. It's not so much year-round school, but year-round learning. Like, I love the fact that the City of Rochester and the public library system are engaging children in learning during the summer. And that's why my partner here, Marisol, is so eloquently articulated that we need to rebrand our recreation center. By the way, sport is a gateway to academic success.
But it shouldn't just be sport, as we've been
saying. It cannot be. It has to be utilized as a gateway to academic success.
And before I jump on the phones, Marisol, you want to add to that?
Yes, I do. I think that the connection that we have with the city school district and the partnership that we have with the library in our literacy aid program is a benefit for the children who are going to be getting the reading program. But it's also a benefit for the youth that we're hiring to teach the children how to read. And it creates a bond and a partnership between younger children and our teenagers, and they are also setting the example that reading is a part of life. In our R centers, we also have some computer-based reading programs. We have RAS Kids, and so the child gets to read a couple of passages, and then they have to answer some questions, because reading comprehension then plays a role into it. When we're talking about sport and the importance of understanding and teamwork and giving people the opportunity to try out for something, we tie that in with reading and homework time. And so we've been able to partner those two to say, you get to do this and this at the same time, or you get to do this after you do this, and we'll all have the opportunity to help one another to be responsible and to be active in the lives of our children and their education.
All right, well, let's get to the phone. Robert in Fairport, go ahead.
Thank you very much. It's a pretty good session. Enjoying listening to it. I think one problem with the approach here is that a lot of what we're hearing is kind of lip service. I kind of ran into a situation last summer where I just thought I'd run into the flagship library in the Rochester system on a Saturday, and I find out that the thing's closed Saturdays. And in fact, the Rundell Library website says it's closed Saturdays from July 4th through September 5th. And if you look at the other hours, it's also closed on Sunday all day. Most of the other hours cut out at 6 o'clock, which means working parents have no opportunity to use the library. I know that money is always an issue, but I'd also notice that the Rochester Area Community Foundation is sitting on assets of about $287 million. maybe you guys can hit them up for a loan.
Robert, I think those are fair questions. I appreciate the call. And let me kick it over to Tanya Burton. She's a children's services consultant with the Rochester Public Library. Tanya?
Sure, I'd love to talk about that. The Central Library is closed during the summer. The way the library system is set up, I'm not going to get into the whole structure of it, but that would be county funding. The city actually, we do have our branches are open on Saturdays in the summer. So you can go to a city branch on Saturdays. And yes, of course, funding is the reason for that.
Funding is the reason. So to Robert's question on where the money comes from, this is not something that the host is well-versed. I don't ask this in any sort of overly accusatory way. I'm just curious. Did the county cut funding recently? Is this a change? Or, if you don't know, I certainly don't know.
No, I know. No, it is. It's not a change. We haven't been open. The Central Library hasn't been open Saturdays as long as I've been in the library system, which has been about 12 years.
Should that be a goal to change that?
That would be a fantastic goal. We are open Sundays during the school year so we can support school time learning. But Sundays we are not open in the summer.
And Robert, it sounds like what you're saying is if we want year-round learning, we've got to embody that in the libraries as well.
Well, that's true. And the other thing with this is that you've got a lot of people that have no internet access and they use the library as their portal to the internet, and that's closed off to them.
Well, the opportunity is there because if people want to use the internet, the branch libraries are open, and all standalone City R Center sites also have computer labs with internet access.
So rec centers, in other words.
Yes.
Internet access there. If the library is closed,
rec centers. I'm trying to change it to R Centers.
Okay.
Right?
I'm working with it.
So I'm working.
I just want to make sure when you say R Center, for our listeners who are just joining us,
I mean recreation.
She means
centers,
rec centers,
yes.
As part of the rebranding. And so if you find a library is closed, you need internet access, so think about the R Centers and think about them in ways maybe you hadn't before. But Tanya, I take the spirit of his comment as saying, you know, the more the libraries are open, the more they're accessible, the better. Yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Bring on the funding. We'll be open 7 days a week. We'd love to.
Okay. Back to the phones, and this is Melissa in Rochester. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hi, Dr. Vargas. I have a question regarding the literacy by third grade. If children are not reaching their goals in first grade, and I work in both a few of the city schools as a volunteer, why are they promoted to second grade? So if they haven't mastered the early sight words, and in some cases I know of a couple kids who don't know the alphabet, and yet their teachers say that they will be going to second grade next year, why aren't we keeping them at first grade till they have the skills they need to be successful in second grade?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let me just begin by saying that Rochester had one of the highest number of retention. Actually, we spent $36 million just in retention of students. And what we know that is not about retention of promotion, that is supporting the child at a very early age. And that's why we like to move even to help out children at the age of 3 years old. And so our strategy right now is not just to promote, but what kind of support are we going to give the child as they move on? And there are times when that might be appropriate to retain a child. So I don't know about the particular situation, but if you were to use, and I will say our challenge has been that we have a critical mass of students that are falling behind. And why are they falling behind? Number one, because when they enter school, they are behind. Number two, because they experience the summer learning loss. Number three, because sometimes at home, they don't get the kind of support that they need. So as I said earlier, we do have a robust strategy here in place, and that is to offer pre-K to every child. Yesterday, for example, I observed a kid in pre-K reading, but that child had 2 years of instruction already. And he was reading a children book that was incredible. Everybody was impressed by it. So we got to make sure that our students have the opportunity to succeed. And we believe that our children have the same potential than any group of children in this county, in this country, in this world, or in this state. And social promotion, it would be an easy way out, or retention, an easy way out. What Rochester need to do is to make sure that our children are supported from birth on in terms of getting them the support that they need to achieve social, emotional, and also academically.
Will in Rochester, you're next. Go ahead, Will.
Hi. One of the things that I wanted to touch on was the labeling of books that are like YA, young adult. And to give an example, I've read like The Hunger Games, and although the story was very, very good, I don't think it was that challenging to kids. One of my things that I picked up when I read a lot of science fiction, and my brother got me into that, and I used to read Isaac Asimov, Larry Niven, Greg Bear, and I always had a dictionary within arm's reach. But my reading of YA books is that they don't really challenge kids to go to the next level.
Will, I don't read enough YA to say. That's a broad statement on an entire genre. But I suspect, and let me ask Tanya Burton, who's a children's services consultant with the Rochester Public Library, I take the spirit of his comment. We want to challenge kids appropriately.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
But we also want them, if they're fired up about reading, we have entered a new kind of a problem. That's sort of a luxury kind of a problem, I would think.
Absolutely. I understand what he's saying. For me, from the public library, the great thing about the public library is we just want kids to be excited about reading, and that's our goal. We want them to love reading. Whatever level they're at, it does. We just want them to love with the reading. And maybe The Hunger Games isn't a challenging read for some teens. For others, that it is a challenging read. So what we try to do, and what they'll be doing at our centers this year, is really trying to find the right book for the right kids. Finding their passion and their interest, because that's more important. It's more important to me that if a young person comes in and this happens every day, oh, I hate to read, I don't like reading, that's a challenge for me and for any librarian in the city, then we are going to make sure that we are going to find a book that's right for that person. And maybe they start at The Hunger Games and then they work their way up. But it's a starting place. And as long as they love to read and they're enjoying it, then our job is done.
You know, there's another trend that's coming up. I have a 9-year-old who loves to read graphic novels. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. a lot of the Rick Riordan type stories are now being published as graphic novels because they're encouraging more kids to read. And to be frank with you, I just want my kid to have a book in hand reading. And that's what we're encouraging. The lectury part of it can come later. But what we're worried about is making sure that our kids start reading and grow to love reading so that they can make it part of their daily life.
And Will, I would just finish that point by saying, look, I think the spirit of his comment is on the mark. We want kids to continue to progress. But if kids love a genre and they're hooked on it, my guess is they don't stay in that genre forever and that eventually they can discover other things. As long as they are in the habit of reading, that is the first and most important habit, because we know there are many kids who are not in the habit of reading at all. That's all I would say on that point there. Let me get back to the phones. This is Mike in Irondequoit. Go ahead, Mike.
The comment that most of the funding for the library comes from the county. Well, it is the Rochester and Monroe County Library. What just frosts me is every time I hear, we're keeping the taxes flat, says, this is what we're buying. We're buying closed libraries and insufficient services to meet the needs of the members of the community. So I'll take your answers off the air. Thanks a lot.
Mike, thank you.
At the end of the day, this community had tremendous capacity and services, and the public library system in here, as Marisol mentioned, I open not necessarily the downtown. Actually, where most of my children live, I outside downtown. So the fact that they are open, that is important. And number two, the Rochester City School District is open library for the first time. We are investing a significant amount of dollars. We went from zero teachers 3 years ago to 60 now. Now we are hiring
literacy aides or literacy teachers?
Reading teachers.
Reading teachers, yeah.
I mean that they are working with our children in our school, but also we have literacy aides, and they are students. We are going to hire 125 students because also a summer job helps a youngster. And also, it can't just be read. You have to do all the things for our students. And while the conversation today is about reading, we do want to emphasize that there is a tremendous amount of support that our students need year-round. And we began last year, we hired 20. So this year, we're going to hire 125 students, high school students, 60 of them, which we are going to lend 30 to the city of Rochester. They will be placed up in five recreational centers, and also some of them are going to be working in various departments within the school district. Bob Duffy, who is now the CEO of the Rochester Business Alliance, said they put a challenge that every business should hire a person from low income, a person living in poverty. The Rochester City School District responded by hiring 125 students, all the kids that otherwise would spend the summer. We have much to do. And guess what they're going to be doing? Some of them are going to be role model and working in our objective to help our children to read during the summer. It can be done. A library card is one of the most powerful resources. Actually, I still have mine from the New York City Public Library. When I came here as an immigrant, one of the things that I treasured the most was the ability to have a library card and get as many books as I wanted. And every family, every citizen, every adult in this community could encourage our kid to read today and every day. And as I said earlier, if you want to break the generational poverty, you have to begin with good education for every child. And reading is a significant part of that.
All right, let's make sure for our listeners you understand all the different things that are happening this summer with the various resources. WXXI is proud to partner with the Central Library and sponsor Exploration Station events as part of the summer learning events. And you can check out much more on WXXI summer learning collaborations on our website, wxxi.org/grad. Rec centers are not just about basketball anymore. We call them our centers, City of Rochester. Marisol, a brief rundown of what you want parents and anyone to know about what's coming up this summer.
Well, it's time to sign up for summer programming. We are going to have summer programming at 15 different sites. Four of those sites are going to be specifically focused on environmental education, the arts, athletics, and STEM. This past year, we started our science, technology, engineering, mathematics program at the Carter R Center, and we were awarded an innovation award for bringing that type of curricula to students during the summertime. So our learning spans beyond the reading and the literacy aids. We also have environmental education, we have STEM, we have the arts, and there are many ways that we engage youth. So we want parents to sign their kids up to come and figure out what program fits best and what program in their neighborhood is going to work for them. So come on the website, cityofrochester.gov, and click on the Recreation Magazine.
Okay, about 30 seconds, Tanya Burton with the Rochester Public Library.
We have programs in all of our libraries, including Central. You can sign up for our summer reading program, where you read every day with your family and earn prizes. We have a summer learning program where you'll explore different things around the city. Our theme this year is Every Hero Have a Story. And with our learning labs, that's a two-hour-a-day program, and you can sign up for those anytime now. Just go to libraryweb.org.
And Bohan Vargas from the Rochester City School District, how will you know if the efforts to prevent the summer learning loss are working? We've got about 45 seconds. How are you going to measure this?
We will know in terms of the effort, how many students participated in our summer program, how many students took books out of the library, how many students completed the RAC-RE, which is another effort that we integrate into this, return their form saying what book they read, with a book report. Actually, another indicator would be how many students would be participating in the RAC RE program that we have at the RAC Wing. Families and children. By the way, our students, we do know that during the summer is a very difficult time for children in poverty. And that's why we want to make sure that we do everything we can to help them. We also are going to do pre-tests and post-tests in our summer program, and we are expecting to have about 12,000 students in the Rochester City School District alone participating in the summer learning program.
Couldn't even get through all the calls this hour and all the comments online. A lot of interest in making sure that we talk about this, that we address these issues of literacy, of the summer learning loss. And so you've heard a lot of different angles on how they are working on that. Bolhan Vargas is Rochester City School District Superintendent. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marisol Ramos-Lopez, the City of Rochester's Commissioner of Recreation and Youth Services. Marisol, thank you.
Thank you for having
me. Tanya Burton from the Rochester Public Library. Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you.
Short break and more connections straight ahead.